Hey guys, this is Ollie Landos with episode 2 of The Landing, coming in violently hot with some new intro music, thanks to a couple of my mates with their song Places by The Brungers. They've also recently started a new band called Barely Standing and are releasing music pretty soon, so I'll be sure to let you guys know when that comes out. But thank you very much. In this podcast, I had Oscar Jaeger on again to review the playoffs and also give our general predictions on the upcoming rounds. We get really in-depth about a lot of different teams and kind of like storylines and narratives. So I hope you guys enjoy, and we'll get some new podcasts out soon. So I'm here with Oscar Jaeger to continue our discussion on the playoffs. So it's been a pretty interesting first round. I want to kind of start with the Giannis and the Bucks sweeping the Heat. What are your kind of like first thoughts on the series?
Well, thanks for having me again, Landy. I thought that was going to be a really close series. I think we said that on the first podcast, and it just wasn't. The Bucks absolutely dominated them on defense. Bam and Jimmy just couldn't shoot at a high clip at all. And then, the Bucks just seem like they've clicked all of a sudden in the playoffs, and I think all of a sudden they're a big threat to win the title.
Yeah, 100%. I definitely found Jimmy Butler to have an interesting series, because as much as I love myself some Jimmy Butler, but he's kind of a player that can kind of give you like all the kind of like things that don't really show up on the stat sheet as much. But like when you need him to score like 30 a night, he struggles to kind of give that to you. I reckon he kind of got found out in that series. Like, as much as I really like him and I think he is a top 15 player in the league, I did think he kind of struggled when they kind of needed his scoring, especially with Hero and Robinson just not shooting very well. But as for Giannis, I think he's kind of like taken that next step. And I think we're all like very quick to kind of rush Giannis, like after his MVPs, to kind of be like, oh, okay, he needs to win a champion straight away. But for example, if he won the championship this year, he'd still be younger than LeBron and MJ when they won theirs. Yeah. So like, we're kind of really quick to, since you win an MVP or something like that, to kind of like force them into like, all right, they need to win a chip immediately. But like, he's actually on like a semi like decent trajectory at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think you're right about Jimmy. I think last year when they made the finals, he played so well as the leader of that team, but he had so much help.
Yeah, exactly. I think,
he can't be like a Steph or a Dame or a KD who just lifts the whole team and scores 50.
Exactly, exactly.
He's just not that kind of guy. He's a great leader and a great player, but yeah, as you said, you can't just expect him to drop 35 a night.
Yeah, and I also found it awesome to see for Giannis is, I'm going to harp on a bit about Giannis, is that in like the closeout game, he had like 15 assists, which is just like, it's really cool to see him kind of influencing the game in like different ways. Like, whereas like usually it'd be like scoring and rebounding, but like being able to kind of like be a kind of facilitator as well is kind of like showing like his improvement.
Yeah. He's definitely like learned a lot from that series last year against the Heat.
Yeah.
You could tell in his brain, he was figuring out their defense and stuff. And exactly. He's just developing as a player more and more. So,
yeah. And what did you think of Holiday and Middleton?
Holiday's defense. I think that's been the biggest upgrade for them from Bledsoe to Holiday this year. And you can tell that in the playoffs. And Holiday, obviously, when he was at the Pelicans, had that series where he just destroyed Dame.
Yeah.
A few years ago. So he's like, he'd be one of the best lockdown guard defenders in the league.
Yeah, no.
And I think that's so important. And he's a good like offensive player.
Yeah.
So he's just the biggest upgrade in Bledsoe. And I think that's why they're a massive shout this year.
Yeah. I was really happy with how Holiday played, because I've always been a fan of Holiday, especially like when he played at Philly. And I think that with like, it kind of takes the edge off Middleton as much. And I think as much as Eric Bledsoe, like, he's got one of the best rigs in the NBA, he can't really play.
Yeah.
He's one of those players that kind of frustrates you, because I think he thinks he's better than he actually is.
Mm.
So like when it comes to the clutch time, he thinks he's some sort of guy. Yeah. But
like Marcus Smart complex.
Don't get me started on the Morris twins. We'll move on. So the Nets kind of handled the Celtics.
Mm.
It kind of took a colossal like playoff performance to even just snag one win for the for the Celtics. What did you kind of think of Harden, Durant, and Kyrie like all playing for the first time actually a few games together.
I think after, like, during game one, I like tweeted that they can't win playing this ISO ball.
Yeah.
But I think in the, especially in those last game four and game five, they started to, like, Harden just playing like the pure point guard and just looked insane.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think if they play that way, they're going to be really hard to beat. And then for Boston, I think it was nice just to see Tatum prove that, like, he can be a superstar, yep. I think. Because, like, he had no help. He had no Jalen, obviously, and then he didn't have much else around him. So the fact that they won a game was actually quite impressive. I thought they were going to get swept easily.
Yeah, I agree.
And, yeah, no, I think the Nets and the Bucks is just, it could be, like, the series of the whole playoffs.
Yeah, no, I agree. Firstly, just on the Celtics, like, as for Tatum, I definitely, like Tatum, but, like, I don't, like, absolutely love him.
Mm.
But the separation he gets on his jump shots, as like, there's a few times where he had, like, Durant on him, and he just gets these, like wide-open jump shots, just, like after having a few, like, dribble moves. I think he's, like, an absolute freak. Like, I think he's, and he's still so young, I think he's on a really, like, good trajectory. So I really hope that they can kind of surround him with some help, because I think at the moment, obviously, Kemba is unreliable, but I don't really know how they're going to get out of that contract. And I think obviously Jaylen Brown's good, but again, as we touched on a couple of weeks ago, we're not really sure if they're able to actually, like, work that well as a tandem. But yeah, I was impressed to even win one game. It was pretty good. But yeah. As for the big three of the Nets, like, I read that they had the highest combined points per game in playoff history for a series. Those three, which is this. And, like, I think, like,
more than, like, LeBron, Wade, and Bosh.
Exactly. I think with Harden and Steph, Clay, and KD,
yeah.
I think with, like, Harden kind of, like, buying into his role as just a facilitator, he's just, like, setting them up so beautifully. And I just, like, he had, like, a 30-point triple-double to finish, to close out the series. And I think he honestly just looks so good. And I think with, like, Houston, he was kind of, like, the man. And obviously, the average were, like, 35-odd or whatever. But I think now he's kind of just, like, hungry for a chip. Mm-hmm. I think that's very dangerous for the league, because he's able to kind of, like, he doesn't care if he only has, like, 15 points or something like that.
Thing. I think he's playing the best basketball of his career.
Yeah.
Because he's just playing, like he's always making the best basketball play. Like, exactly. Almost LeBron-esque.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
And, like, if he keeps doing that, it's going to be so hard to beat them.
Yeah,
100%. Because the other two are the best shooters ever.
Yeah, and I just think,
and so is he. He's a great shooter.
Exactly.
So.
And just to be that good, to be able to just be like, all right, I'm just going to be a facilitator now. You have to be like, have a serious high, like, basketball IQ.
Exactly.
So what are your kind of thoughts on Bucks versus Nets? So that starts Sunday, our time. Yeah. What do you think?
Well, I think it's going to be, like, a great series. I think a lot of people think the Nets will just, like, sort of sweep through the East now.
Yeah.
But I think the way Giannis has been playing, who's going to guard him? Blake Griffin?
I guess you have to throw a bunch of bodies at him, I think.
Yeah, so I think, so what, Brooklyn, the first two games are in Brooklyn, aren't they?
Yeah.
So I think, because Brooklyn don't have, like, the best home court, it's not like a Knicks or a Blazers or a Golden State loud home court. I think that could work in Milwaukee's advantage. If they could somehow get one in Brooklyn and then go home, they've got a pretty good crowd. I feel like it could go 6 or 7. I don't know which way, though.
It's a very tough one.
It could be like KD, Kyrie, and Harden just score 140 a night.
Exactly. It's just going to be, can the Nets score enough points? I know this sounds stupid, but, like, can the Nets score enough points because, like, they can't really stop the Bucks? Mm. So it's literally going to be, like, can they out, like, score?
So, them, like, which, I guess, like, the matchup could be, like, if Jrue Holiday can shut down Kyrie or Harden.
Yeah.
If he can shut down one of them each night, or at least stop them a little bit.
Yeah.
That could be
the
difference. Like, something like that.
It's just like, I just don't think the Nets can defensively just, like, stop Giannis. So it's going to be literally
he'll get 30
or
not.
Yeah, like, Giannis will get twos, and then, like, KD, Kyrie, and Harden will have to get threes.
Might be a mess.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would love the Bucks to win this series. I feel like they, like, seem a bit like more of, like, a kind of, like, cohesive unit at the moment. I think they seem like pretty upbeat.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, like, I think that's, like, kind of dangerous, which is, like, kind of goes against, like, how, for example, the Lakers are looking, like, body language wise. And I think that's just really, like, important, because, like, you just really do need to string a couple of, like, a few weeks and months together in the playoffs. And I think they're coming in hot, and they're looking quite good. But did you see Giannis put up, so Sam showed me this the other day. He showed, like, on Instagram or like Twitter, he put up a photo of like, you know, the classic newspaper looking at like on the back page. Yeah, like for a first round series, is I reckon that's major carry on.
Yeah,
but good. Like, so I think they rate yeah, themselves, arrogant. And I'm keen to see
the Nets are arrogant too. So yeah, it's going to be some alpha dogs out there.
Exactly, and I think if they can knock off the Nets, I think they have somewhat easier, like pretty like easy from there. Because the other side of the brackets, like so let's move on to. I want to give you a minute or two on the Hawks and Knicks.
Yeah.
First off, sorry about that. But what are your thoughts? And
yeah, obviously, like it was disappointing, and in the end, they kind of won all the games apart from game one when Trey hit the buzzer beater. But there's the game 3, 4, and 5 were all pretty lopsided.
Yeah.
I think they were always the more talented team, and that was exaggerated once Julius was playing so badly.
Yeah.
Like, he just didn't have a good series at all. I think the playoffs might have been a bit too big for him, and hopefully he'll come back better next year.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the Hawks, they're really talented. They're all young, and they can, they're kind of like Steph and Clay in like 2012.
I was watching the game today, and I literally because that's where I
Clay and like
against the Denver series, yeah. In 2013, the Warriors versus Denver. Like I was watching, it was just like, geez, like they don't have that defined number two, Clay type, yeah. But like they're exciting and they're kind of like up and coming.
Herter can shoot, Gallo can shoot, like they just got all these snipers. Yeah. And then like DeAndre Hunter was pretty good in that series.
Yeah, exactly. And Boban. Yeah. Bojan.
I guess the only good thing for the Knicks is that Obi Toppin had some good minutes. Yeah. He didn't play at all in the regular season.
Yeah.
But he actually was all right in the playoffs. RJ was like had some good moments.
Yeah.
Derrick Rose was just amazing.
I think what the Knicks lacked, which is why Derrick Rose looks so good, is that he can get his own shot.
Yeah.
I think, okay, you saw like Julius Randle, he kind of was settling for these threes and these like long twos, yeah, and they're just like not like, mate, you're a bull. Get in there. Like you're literally enormous. Like you're like you're very strong.
6'11", 6'10", whatever he is.
You're like a C grade like Zion, like which is still massive. So like get in the key and create some chaos. And I think that's where they struggled is because they kind of just like were passing it around. Even like Bullock was looking like okay. You could at least
shooting
like,
the life.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just like I think like if you had to as a Knicks fan, what would you look for in this offseason just quickly?
Well, if I think I've been talking about it a bit on social media, like if the Clippers capitulate, which they might now, after looking fine, I think like there's all this talk about Kawhi, which would obviously be amazing, but that's knowing the Knicks, it's probably a bit out of our range. Obviously you'd love Dame.
Jeez. But Kawhi, the Knicks.
I don't know. I think you need, clearly Julius, like as good as he has been this year, you're not going to win a title with him as your number one.
Yeah.
He could be a great number two.
Oh, 100%, 100%.
I think we just need to,
Well, I think he could be like somewhat like a Draymond type, like a three even, just like a solid, like that can have that, like he's a better scoring than Draymond, but be like a 2/3 as like a player.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. Like hopefully, you know, because I feel like after this season, something weird will happen because the Clippers might collapse.
Yeah, yeah. Could hunt like PJ or Kawhi or something like that.
But obviously need someone, like need a star. Like a real superstar.
Yeah.
To be able to like challenge for the title or
and just kind of like keep improving. Yeah,
but overall I think obviously just getting more minutes and those like RJ, I think he'll be a good player. He's never gonna be a superstar, but he's gonna be like a good
I think.
Maybe like an all star 1 year.
Yeah, I was watching some like weird compilation on Twitter about like RJ just having a really slow first step, which is like why he's not really like he can't get to the basket very well.
Blow by
So I don't know whether he needs to get fitter or something like that, or like a bit lighter. But like I reckon like he has like still like quite a bit of improvement to make.
Yeah, definitely.
And things like free throws as well. Just like you got to hit them. And I thought first this quickly, Trae Young was awesome. Like I think going in, I kind of like was a bit skeptical. I don't particularly love how he looks. Like I reckon his head's a bit rude. But like I think he was absolutely amazing. Like
third year.
And he was like awesome. And I think he kind of like is just looking way more just composed and like mature. Like just not like jacking those long throws. Like because like they're gonna be there. But you see with like Steph and Dame, is that like they usually take them. Oh, they get a bit more of a free pass. But at the same time, they're still kind of like they know when to not take them more so.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think Trey's starting to get that because he is a really good shooter. And I think I also really enjoyed him talking trash. Especially
obviously as a Knicks fan, it was annoying.
But like in regards to this, yeah,
he backed it up.
In regards to this, like I don't know, MSG pumping and just like him firing up and just like I think he carried on a bit too much.
Yeah.
Like there was like to be fair, he got spat on, so definitely fair enough. Awful. Which is awful. But I was like really impressed with Trae Young.
Mm.
And then all right, let's move on to that side of the bracket would be Philly.
Mm.
So they just kind of took care of the Wizards. Unfortunately for the Wizards, they just other than Russ and Beal, they just don't have a third option, a clear third option, I think, which sucks for Russ because he did have a really kind of good, second half of the year. Unfortunately, just another first-round loss. And then the biggest kind of, story of that is Embiid having a small meniscus tear in his knee. Unfortunately for him, I just feel like this is just... I feel like we've read this book before. Mm-hmm. It kind of happens every year.
Yeah, exactly.
There is hopes he didn't play today, but there's hopes that he'll be able to kind of like have a, I don't know, maybe be like 70% or 80% for the next series. But what do you kind of think of this of Philly in that series?
Yeah, I think they just did what they had to do. Yep. I think obviously what was it, 4-1?
Yeah,
it was kind of like I expected that or a sweep.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think without Embiid, they're obviously in massive trouble because the only way they can win a title is if he's 100% healthy.
Exactly. That's why I
he's as good as Simmons is, they can't run a proper offense with Simmons as the main guy.
Yeah.
And because if Simmons is the main, if Simmons is your best player, then Tobias Harris will have to score 39.
And that's Seth Curry will have to have 30, exactly. Which he did today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was just sort of expected what to happen with that series.
Yeah.
I sort of thought, Russ had his Russ moment, didn't he?
In
game four, he shot like 15%.
Three of 19.
But had 100 rebounds.
Yeah, exactly. But I think Russ is always just going to be Russ. You just know exactly what you're going to get from him. Yeah. But yeah, I guess for Philly and Philly versus Hawks, which is going to be this round, I think that just seems pretty boring. I reckon without Embiid, I reckon Philly just aren't really a chance. They might win that series, but really kind of the Bucks versus Nets becomes the conference finals.
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
If Embiid's not back or not 100%.
Yeah.
I agree. It's gonna.
Which is similar to kind of like
if the Hawks got through this Philly, then they would just get.
Yeah. Exactly.
The Bucks or the Nets.
Yeah. So which is kind of the semi-final. Being kind of like the equivalent to the conference finals is similar to kind of the Warriors and Rockets a couple of years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I know would kind of be frustrating, but I guess we're just gonna have to enjoy Bucks versus Nets.
Mm.
All right, let's move to the West. And I want to give you another alley oop for another minute or two on Dame.
Yeah.
So he had 55 points yesterday, 12 threes, broke Clay's record, the bastard. but what a freak.
Yeah, it was some of the most absurd shot making I've ever seen. I was watching it at work, and I was watching it on a shitty little stream. So when I turned my screen off, I had to go back and watch all the ads again and all the pop ups. And it was the middle of overtime, and then they got down 9 in the first overtime. So I was at work. I was I'm not gonna bother. And then the
group. I messaged you. I messaged you.
The basketball WhatsApp we have started popping off, and it started going, oh my God, Dame. And I was I'm putting it back on. And all of a sudden, I'm down by 3 again. I was this is ridiculous. But yeah, he's, when he's hot, it's him and Clay and Steph, they're just, when those guys get hot, it's money.
It must
scare opposition so much.
It's just there's nothing you can do. You saw Austin Rivers, who he's praying to praying to the heavens to just can you please miss a shot, he's the shot making that's going on at the moment with especially in the last couple of years with Steph and Dame is just and Clay as you said is just it's so interesting that they're just on that whole new level it's strange in professional sport.
Stretch the court to half court.
Yeah, in professional sport when you see a group or a couple of players just have that next level where you're just wow
yeah
it's kind of reminds me of when like Federer and Nadal would just like take turns in Grand Slams. So it's just like they're just like that much better than like the field. It's just like how does that work?
Yeah.
But yeah, he was amazing. But like I think it just kind of encapsulates the kind of the issues with Portland. Is it like the few players where Dame made the right play and CJ had a couple like corner threes or like, then he stepped out of bounds.
Yeah.
But just like not having that help just so frustrating. It's just like I think CJ was awful, and you messaged yesterday, and you said like, you can't have Morris and Rivers. Morris has been, as you said, like really kind of special, like this playoffs. It's like for Denver, they really needed someone like that at the moment. But with Morris and Rivers outplaying CJ and Powell, it's just like Dame's just gonna like kind of keep doing the same thing every year and just like not be able to kind of like advance.
He's gonna get bounced in like the first or second round, dropping like 30 again, but. Yeah, it's just annoying because, like, CJ, remember that when they beat Denver 2 years ago?
And he hit the game winner. He hit the game winner in seven.
Like, yeah, the basically, it was like 10 seconds left.
A turnaround, like,
And he's just sort of, he looks like he's lost all his confidence.
Yeah.
And then Nurkic always fouls out. And he
loves fouling out. Yeah, he's always fouled out.
He's, like, the most important player outside of Dame.
Yeah.
Because he's the only one that can sort of guard Jokic.
Yeah.
Because Jokic just destroys Cantor. It's a joke. And he destroys anyone, really. Jokic is amazing.
It's funny how just like how good Cantor is at offensive boards, but he can't get a defensive board.
I know.
It's actually just, it's quite bizarre. Also, I do want to kind of mention Jokic again.
He's absurd.
So obviously Dame was like, had 55 in a loss. Jokic had 38, 11 and 9 in a win.
Mm.
He, honestly, for someone like his size, I reckon he's... His tank is like quite good. Like he
looks like he doesn't have one.
I don't know. He looks like he'd be out of gas.
He's going in like the second overtime. He's drilling threes and making these.
And he's sizzling. Passes. He's absolutely sizzling. So yeah, I think he was like, again, just very impressive. And I think if they're able to get past this, like, so it's 3-2 now.
Mm.
Is the next game tomorrow? Is game 6 tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yep. What do you?
I think Portland win tomorrow, but then I don't know because like you wouldn't really say.
I feel like I want the Blazers to advance.
I don't know. It's both these teams are so flawed. They just have one superstar.
Exactly. And, it's just like who goes.
Obviously, Jokic is like the preferable superstar because he's big.
And he can like
he got probably a better passer. Even though Dame's passing's been great this series. I don't know. I don't think either of these teams can win the ship. But maybe if the Lakers somehow get knocked out, which we'll talk about soon.
Yeah, we'll go to that next. Yeah. But for this series, I think the Blazers win in seven.
Yeah, that's the thing. If it gets to game seven, you probably trust Dame.
Yeah.
As long as he gets something from Melo or Powell or CJ.
Just something. Something. Please. So I've got the Blazers going through.
I hope it goes seven because we need like a really mid. Because it'll go like to overtime again in seven.
Exactly. Yeah. And then so that takes us to Lakers Suns,
which
yesterday's game, so I had a day off work. I was doing a bit of uni study. So I was like, all right, 12 o'clock, Lakers Suns, huge game five. Surely, like we get like a vintage kind of LeBron. Yeah. Like
I was expecting like that game one against the Warriors.
Exactly. Like, so I was just like, all right, I'll get my popcorn.
48.
Geez, it was disappointing. It was actually over halfway through the second quarter.
He kept settling.
He
thought he was Steph in that first like 5 minutes. He had like threes from like 30 feet out, and I was like, what are you doing?
I think the thing with LeBron, especially like obviously he's improved shooting wise so much, like in regards to be able to like if you like take his like first few years compared to this, like it's nuts, which you kind of have to do as you age. But I think LeBron's the most dangerous when he gets going like in the key and then like moves out. Once he gets his threes going, he's unstoppable, which as you mentioned, the game one in 2018, he like had these like nice, like small, like kind of like, I don't know whether it's a floater or just like nice drives.
Yeah.
And then once the threes get going, he can't be stopped.
Yeah.
That's just, but it doesn't like work as well when it's the inverse for him. So I don't know whether that's because of his ankle, he's like settling. But I think Bill Simmons said in his podcast about the free throws, about like how, he usually like would average like 9, and then at the moment he's averaging like 4 or 5. And I think, which is just like kind of like a good stat to show if you're attacking the basket or not.
Yeah.
And I think I don't know whether, yeah, it's the confidence thing in his ankle, but I think, yeah, he was, like, quite disappointed. Like, I had a nice, like, multi of, like, LeBron 30-plus and Lakers win just because I was just, like, surely, like, this is the type of game that LeBron just, like, all right, I'm literally going to take 40 shots and just, like, win this game.
25.
Exactly. But I think, yeah, they just looked awful. And I think I also do want to mention him leaving the court with 5 minutes left in the fourth. I think that for someone who obviously is a, like, overall, like, a great team player, I think that's an awful look in regards to, I think, for, like, players like KCP, Kuzma, these, yeah, like, these shooters, they need guidance. And I think they needed, like, for example, at the end of that game, you get all your players, stand in the middle of the court and be like, all right, guys, that just happened.
We just had to win two
more. That just happened. Mm. We just got blown out. This is what happens when we're not switched on. I really need, like, you guys to lock in. I was bad as well. And just kind of, like, digest it better. And I think bailing on your... I don't know whether... like, I don't know why you ever do that. I think it's just an awful, like, look. And I think it's just, like, kind of really just, like, bad for, like, the younger players. And just, like, any kind of, like, role player just to kind of give you confidence. If your best player, your leader is leaving, like, what does that kind of do for you?
Yeah, I agree. It's sort of... like, imagine if Bont did that after a Dogs game, or in the middle of a Dogs game, you're down by 50 points, and he just left.
You
like left the ground.
You only do that if you've done your knee, or you've done, like, even, so dude, even then, you literally come back out onto it and sit with your boys. Like, you go down, like, win or loss.
And I know, like, in basketball, they don't have, like, proper captains like most other sports, but
but he's the captain wherever he goes.
Exactly.
So yeah, I thought that was disappointing, but I surely he fires up for game six. I might have to run the same multi.
Yeah, I think, he's never going to have two bad games in a row.
Exactly. But I think also, this, as we said, like, on our last podcast, is that, like, it's literally the series of health. So it's just like, so AD, again, like, I don't know, like, if he's going to play in game six. And same with CP3. I think CP3, they say it's likely. I don't know what happened. Like, CP3, did you see that when he got his shoulder injured in the last game? He literally, he got bumped, he got boxed out by Wesley Matthews. Fine box out. CP3 literally looked like he was in excruciating pain. I was just like, he's done. Like, I was just like, he's done his shoulder or whatever. And I think maybe a nerve issue or something like that. But it basically just depends. Like, I think with this game six, if CP3 doesn't play, Lakers win. Whether AD plays or not.
Yeah.
But if CP3 plays and AD doesn't play, I think the Suns close out.
Yeah, I agree. I think if they can get Paul out there, even if he's at like 50%, just his
composure.
Obviously that Phoenix team is so young. Like Ayton, like Booker's first time in the playoffs.
And they really need
Cameron Payne. Like they're all like young guys. If he's out there and AD isn't, I agree. I think the Suns should win this in six. Yeah. And they'll want it because they don't want to go home to play game seven, even though they'll have their home fans, but they'll be shooting themselves.
As I know, LeBron doesn't lose game seven.
Yeah, exactly. And it'll be like that game seven when it was Houston Warriors.
Yeah, when you just knew.
Like Houston were up early, but you just kind of knew that it's like Steph and KD and stuff were going to get hot.
Exactly.
I feel like Phoenix could be up early in a game seven, but LeBron would just eventually come over the top of them.
Yeah, I agree. So yeah, I think that's going to be... I think the Suns going to close
series,
out tomorrow.
The two West series left, and the Clippers Mavs obviously, but the Lakers Suns and Nuggets Blazers have been like they've been the most interesting two series.
Exactly. But like I would love just healthy teams. But I think healthy teams. I think like and we'll just quickly touch on AD. I just think first of all, I've never seen an NBA player that falls over more than him.
Mm.
He literally is on the ground so much, and I think whether that like. Not why he gets injured, but like just a part of just like I don't know. I think he's just like he's so fragile.
Yeah.
And I think big men just don't get healthier.
No.
If they get earlier injuries, they don't get like healthier just because they're just so large. Like these like how big are they? 6'10", 6'11". Yeah. Literally, like they just don't get healthier. And I think last year having the bubble was literally like such a blessing for LeBron less so because LeBron's just the most. Like, what is it? Healthy, like, it was, what's that word?
He's just a like, superhuman.
Just doesn't get injured. Doesn't get injured. That word, damn it, kills me. but, like, AD, like, having that 3 or 4 months before the bubble last year, I think just, like, got him in like such good nick. So then, like, of course, he was able to play out a full like playoffs. But I think with a full regular season and playoffs, I just don't think his body's up to it anymore. I just think, like, what is he, 27, 26?
And the bubble as well, because you weren't traveling.
Exactly. So, and I think, and first of all, I don't know why he even went. Like, Charles Barkley said it on TNT, but I don't even know why he went to Phoenix yesterday. Like, what? Like, surely to stay in LA and just try and get better. Like, were you ever really going to play? And I think, like, I've had an injured groin before, and like, it's awful. Like, and it's like, it's so chad. And I just like, why even like risk like aggravating it? Just like shooting, like even warming up. Like, I just don't really see the point of that. So I think the handling of him, but I think that also shows that the Lakers are a bit edgy about getting knocked out. Do you think, tomorrow?
That's a good question. Do you think if they lose in six, even without AD, do you think it's anything on LeBron's legacy?
No. I think it's something like that. I think we get so like nitpicky of just like little things that happen at like ends of their career. And I think he's already set. Like, it might be like in regards to maybe the MJ versus LeBron argument, it might be something there.
That's really argument,
but that's but yeah, but like if that's all that loses, I don't think that's anything, because like the Lakers have had a rough year with injuries, and I think, but I do think that if like if it goes. Like, and I think this, like, if LeBron kind of like gets frustrated, I think, like, he put this team together. Like, he like signed off on AD, he signed off on KCP, all that like that. So I think if they fail, like it is just it's a loss. Like it's just like a standard loss. And I think it will be interesting to see what the Lakers do, if anything, after this like year, if they get knocked out tomorrow.
Yeah, I wonder. Like is he gonna definitely stay?
LeBron.
Yeah.
I think LeBron is set. I think he's set. I think he's so set up in LA. He's so set up in LA in regards to his brand. But
I feel like if they lose tomorrow and like Davis doesn't play or plays half injured, like I feel like LeBron won't trust him again. Do you reckon?
How can you? Yeah. As I said, like I honestly don't trust AD for a whole year. No. Like same as Embiid. I just don't.
And he needs a second guy to win another chip.
Yeah. So. I reckon they would just hunt a third guy.
Yeah. True.
Sure. Yeah. Like go after like a Dame or like something like that. But yeah, I guess we'll have to say. And again, I'm still gonna bet on LeBron to win tomorrow. I don't think they'll win, think they're gonna I'm not gonna go against like a LeBron team. And then so the other side of the bracket is so Utah. I'm very on Donovan Mitchell. I'm very on him.
Yeah, you love him. He's me.
I think
spider.
As we saw, as soon as he came back, they didn't lose. They swept. So, like, they swept with Donovan.
Yeah.
Today, he was unbelievable. Literally came out, knocked them out in the first half. Literally, and, like I don't know, if you have some spare, like, minutes, watch the end of the first half. He was literally, like, awesome. Just, like, talking some smack and just, like, hit a couple huge threes.
Yeah.
And I think, like, they've got the deepest roster in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Which I think can be dangerous, but unfortunately, in the stretch, you need those like X factor guys. So I think Donovan Mitchell is going to have to play out of his skin for them to win the West, which he's definitely capable of. But like, I just think they need like a kind of a more solid number two. Like Mike Conley's like decent, Joe Ingles is decent, like can hit a shot. But like, I think they're going to be very reliant on Donovan Mitchell, which.
Yeah.
The way that like things have unfolded, like I think they're actually looking like a pretty good shout to like win the West, and
they've got home court, they've got the best like defensive big man in the league, and if the Lakers get knocked out, the West is so open.
Exactly.
So I think like if the Lakers lose tomorrow or in Game 7, Utah will be thinking we can win the West, like because who will they have to play, like Phoenix, Denver, or Portland?
Yeah.
In the finals.
Yeah.
And then I think you're right. I think they're just so deep. But yeah, I think Donovan will have to like have a Steph or Dame-esque run.
Exactly.
Where he just goes off for 40 and he's just unstoppable for them to win the title.
Exactly. Yeah. And,
I think he's capable of it.
So they're on the side of Clippers and Mavs,
right?
So I think
I'll play the winner.
So we'll quickly get into that series and then like kind of talk about like, because I think that side of the bracket, so the Utah versus either Clippers or Mavs, is also the conference finals as well. An early conference finals.
Hmm.
I would probably say, because what would be the other side?
Portland, Phoenix, Denver.
Yeah.
And LA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I would think that's kind of like not as like clear cut as the East. But yeah, I just don't think that Lakers are going to be able to stay healthy.
Mm.
I just don't. And I think, and this is the first round. This is meant to be the, and obviously they had the seventh seed, so they didn't get like an easier like run. But like, how is AD possibly going to stay healthy if he's already had about three ailments in five games?
Yeah, exactly.
And then, so what if he's, kind of, so Clippers versus Mavs, that was game six, five today.
Yeah, five today.
And Luka was literally just unbelievable. I watched that and I've got a stat. So he accounted, so scored or assisted on 31 of the total 37 made field goals for the Mavs, which is literally just absurd. Like that is just, and I think he's like on the trajectory to literally, like, it's
like he's going to be like the next Larry Bird.
No, 100%. Yeah, he's on track to be have a top 10 to like be a top 10 player of all time. Because like, and he's some of these like shots he's hitting. Yeah, and he's carrying.
He's got like five more years of improvement in him, minimum.
And Porzingis is trash. Yeah. He's number two.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's got no help.
Tim Hardaway is his number two.
Yeah.
Boban was his number two today. But like, I think one I really enjoyed just quickly on today's game. I really enjoyed the Mavs. The coaching by Rick Carlisle. So what I've like noticed is, so the Clippers, they try to go like a small ball. So they had what, Reggie Jackson, PG, Kawhi, Morris, and who was their last one?
Zubac?
No, they didn't play. No, Buck is injured. It wasn't Zubac. But anyway, it's like five small guys. Like Zubac wasn't in the in the five. And to kind of like go against that, the Mavs started Boban and just like went super tall. And I think that was like a really kind of like critical kind of coaching like decision, because it like meant that like you had literally like, I've never seen Kawhi look so small with Boban holding the ball up and literally like these guys are like grabbing at him. So I think that was really smart in winning this series, winning this game, sorry. And yeah, I think the Clippers looked okay today, but I think Kawhi was pretty awful.
He was a bad game of the series.
Yeah, exactly. And I think
they need him to be.
They need both. They need both. PJ was okay today, but Kawhi and PJ, they need them both at like 25+. 60. Yeah, legit. So yeah, what would you think about Utah? So who do you think wins, Clippers, Mavs?
I mean, like, this series is so hard to figure out. Anything can happen.
Every away team's won.
Yeah, so that means that it's game seven in LA and the Mavs will win.
Yeah. Oh, it's settled then.
So, but yeah, I think that could. If the Mavs win this, like that would be a really good bet to win the chip. If like Luka can just keep doing this
again, one can stop him. No one can stop him. Like
all these teams in the West, they're like carried by one guy.
Yeah,
it's cool to watch.
No, it's funny because we went back to like, I remember like with the after the 2019, like there was all these twos. Remember there was all these duos. It was like LeBron and AD, Kawhi and PG, and then it was like who else like.
Yeah, like Damon, CJ,
CP3 and Devin Harden, Booker and stuff, and Harden, and like the now it's like going back to like that retro, like every team has like one guy
carrying them.
And
like obviously like Doncic and KP was meant to be a duo. It's just one guy.
Porzingis, oh, he frustrated me so much today. Like he played like trash, and then hits this like corner three to like kind of like not seal the game, but like put them in a pretty good position. And who do you think? So do you reckon Utah take care of Clippers and Mavs? Whoever they play.
I don't know, because I feel like Clippers would love that matchup, but the Clippers, like on paper, they look so good.
Yeah.
You think like on paper, they've got the two best wing defenders who can both shoot the lights out. Kawhi's a top five player in the league, but it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Like, for some reason, having a Morris in your team just can't be good for your chemistry.
Oh, like, the Morris brothers.
Because it just makes them so chirpy.
They're the black holes of the NBA.
Yeah.
Dead set, you pass the ball and you're never getting it back. You literally never getting it back.
The chuckers.
They literally drive me nuts. Like, they take stupid shots and then, like.
I think they're like Kevin Durant.
Exactly. They've got the Eric Bledsoe.
Yeah.
And then, like. Oh, and dead set, like, they always make the shot when they, like. They make this clutch shot and then they're just like, all right, well, from now on, I'm Kobe Bryant. Yeah,
exactly.
I'm going to carry this
team. Always make like one good contested three and then they think they're amazing.
Oh, it's so annoying. Literally, it's so frustrating. But yeah, I would take Utah over either of these teams.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the Mavs rely way too much on one guy and I feel like Utah probably have enough bodies to throw at him, just enough to win.
Yeah.
And then the Clippers just like, I just trust Utah more. So yeah. I think they'd beat them like 4-2. And then the Clippers will, like, you know, they'll be down 2-0 and they'll just implode.
Yeah.
Or something.
Standard. But I also was thinking, this is like a bit random, but I was thinking like, so I was watching Seth Curry play well today.
Mm.
And I was just like, there is like these three teams. So the Clippers, the Mavs, who used to have Seth Curry,
mm.
who gave him up, who I raged about that last year. I was just like, he's such a good player to have with Luka. And the Lakers. Think about Seth Curry could beat all three of those teams and would make them so much better immediately. And I think like that was actually
well, that's awfully cool by the Mavs. He's like kind of the reason that Philly have gotten so much better this year.
Exactly, exactly.
He's the reason that, like, part of the reason they're a one seed.
Like, he's a decent number three. Like, he actually is like a
solid... Or he's like the GOAT, like, six man.
Exactly, exactly.
Like,
and I
Lou
think
Williams, like a better version of Lou Williams.
Yeah, like, I think unfortunately the Mavs put too much money in Porzingis, so like they couldn't pay someone like Seth Curry, but I think overall, like, he would be a kind of a good like addition to any team.
Yeah.
So yeah, that finishes all the series. Thanks for coming on again.
That's
all. We'll definitely tee one up again in like 2 weeks, based on how these playoffs are going and see how our predictions play out. But yeah, thanks again for coming on, and
thanks for having me.
We'll talk soon.